Please take a seat. We are the people of God. The scripture reminds us that we still sin and we need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father who freely forgives us. From Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." And from further in Psalm 51, "The sacrifice accepted to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, will you not despise." So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you like to now all stand and join with me in reciting the Apostles' Creed? What do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our next song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Please take a seat. Celia will now come and lead us in prayer after I do the collect. The collect for the 12th Ordinary Sunday. Let us pray for release from anxiety. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall abide. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. We'll hear in Psalm 139, "Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely." God our Father, we bring before you this day our prayers and petitions, not to remind you of our needs and wants, but to remind ourselves of our dependence on you, just as a child depends on its earthly father. For today we remember fathers. We celebrate the good memories, the joy and the fun, the safety of boundaries, the encouragement that comes from knowing you are loved. We thank you for all who have created homes where children thrive and knowledge and love of you abound. We think of fathers present, fathers past, fathers in waiting, surrogate fathers, stepfathers, absent fathers, excellent fathers, and terrible fathers. fathers whitewashed by time, and fathers whose very memory causes pain. Lord, like all of your people, fathers come in all shapes and sizes, all shades of good and evil, but none sets out to be a bad father. Some fathers have been worn down by great burdens trying to keep a family safe. Some have failed in their own eyes or the judgments of those around them. Some fail because they have no model of good fathering. But you are a God who heals the wounded. Hold these men in your loving care. Remove from them the burden of guilt. Give them penitent hearts and restore them to wholeness. We ask for wisdom for all fathers and humility in the face of the great task of parenting. Strengthen when they falter and rest when they are overwhelmed. Reward them with the joy of seeing a task begun and ended in you. God our Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. God our Father, Father of the Church throughout the world, Shepherd of one flock, united through your voice, guard your people when the flock is threatened by division. May love of you bring wisdom and discernment to those who lead. We are all created in your image, but we see each other not through your lens, but through eyes trained to see difference. As we prepare to gather in synod, give to all eyes fixed on you, ears wide open to hear your voice in the words of others, and wisdom to discern your purpose in all we do. Your time is infinite, Lord, but we are impatient. Grant that we pay due attention to the needs before us while we move towards your everlasting kingdom. Here at St. Giles, we thank you for the loving care and guidance of Eric and all those who support him, his family, especially Christine, Mark, and all who undertake the many and varied tasks in the parish. Refresh and renew him through your Holy Spirit, and may the encouragement of your people give him strength. God our Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. This prayer comes from the New Zealand Prayer Book from the Anglican Church in Aotearoa. God our Creator, our Centre, our Friend, we thank you for our good life, for those who are dear to us, for our dead, and for all who have helped and influenced us. We thank you for the measure of freedom we have, and the extent to which we control our lives. And most of all, we thank you for the faith that is in us, for our awareness of you and our hope in you. Keep us, we pray you, thankful and hopeful and useful until our lives shall end. God our Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. A prayer for those in need. God our Father, the wants and needs of your children are so great. We long for an end to war and famine, droughts and floods, greed and neglect. For in you, the impossible will become real. But while we wait, Lord, create in us hearts that hear the cries of your people and the strength to take your love into the world. Inspire us to see in the everyday the solutions that bring comfort to your people, to be the word in loneliness, the companion of despair, the broad shoulder for a burden, the listening ear when no one cares, the gentle prod of conscience when temptation lurks, the smile of welcome when all the doors are shut. We ask for healing and relief for those known to us who are suffering, especially those who have asked for our prayers. Rowan Allen, Fleur Fowler, Murray Holmes, Vernon Ireland, Graham Lowther, Duncan Lupton, Felicity Purdy, and Margaret Roberts in Royal North Shore Hospital after a fall and now with pneumonia. We include in our petition Julia and all Margaret's family. Lord, comfort them with your everlasting love and the hope we have in you. God our Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, as our Lord taught the disciples to pray, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And we come to that part of the service that we call the spot. And I'm sorry that David Flakelaar is not here to see this next picture, because we're introducing a new spot dog, which is I took from a photo that he sent to some of us. That Nina went to a garage to get the car fixed, and she said she was impressed with the security guard who was dressed in high vis and would rip your leg off. And that's him. So the spot today is brought to us by Jeremy. Jeremy, come up here. Do you feel like you can? Yep. That's all we need. Now, we all know Jeremy. He's been with us for a little while now, and we're really glad to have you with us. And Jeremy, of course, is at Moore College, where all day long he just sits there and takes notes from people. So for fun, he went out and went to another lecture and took notes.
Yes. Sorry, I'm still in the process of kind of sifting through the thoughts and the notes that I took at the lecture. It was called Disconnected. It was by a guy named Andy Crouch, who is a Christian thinker in America, and he kind of specializes in the internet, all that kind of thing. And he made very interesting notes about a lot of things. Like, one thing was that that he noticed two paradoxically present emotions to do with technology. One is exhilaration, new devices and new possibilities. You see that when you get a new phone, all that kind of thing. So you feel the exhilaration all the time. And also doubt and regret. And a feeling that it's not working as well as you hoped. And users and inventors feel this alike, including creators of the like button. He talked about that as well. So that was one thing he said. And he mentioned he had a few ideas of ways forward that I still need to kind of think more about. But one thing he mentioned was contrasting shallow power and deep power. I'm still wrapping my mind around it, but I think shallow power is... I went to him afterwards and had a quick chat with him, and he said that social media has blurred the line between friends and fame. And I think shallow power is when you get confused and you go for the fame option, which is all in all of us. And the deep power is when you're drawn to, transcendent truths. When you go into an old building and you see majesty there, and ultimately in the gospel, obviously. But I think that he was saying that it's difficult for technology to convey deep power, and that's what we need to kind of focus on. And he also mentioned the Shema Israel, so I the Lord and your God, that's a terrible paraphrase, but where God says to Israel, I'm your God and you're my people, follow me, something along those lines. And he said that he thinks that we should keep going towards that way. That's a few minutes thinking on the spot, but on the spot. So still sifting through my thoughts and thinking about it.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's time for our next song, The Lord is My Shepherd. Would you like to please stand for this? Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The first Bible reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. It's on page 609 in your pew Bible. The section is titled The Potter and the Clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I have intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Israel, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil ways and amend your ways and your doings. The second reading is from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 5, page 503 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 139, 1 to 5. The inescapable God. To the leader of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. And the final reading is from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, page 872 on your Pew Bible. So John 10, 1 to 11, it says, Jesus the Good Shepherd, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's see if you can complete these sentences. You can't be a conductor without an
orchestra.
You can't be a coach without a team. You can't be a general without an army. You can't be a headmaster without a school. And you can't be a shepherd without
sheep
or a flock. Psalm 95 verse 7 in the NIV says, we are the people of God's pasture and the flock under his care. Now, we recently did a sermon series on the I am statements of Jesus, and I wanted to follow that up with a sermon series on the we are statements about God's people. In other words, what does God see in us? We see all sorts of things in Jesus, and now we're looking at what does God see in us? We are what? And so different things we're going to be looking at, but we're going to look at them especially when it comes to being the church. What does God see in us as his people? Now, one of the statements Jesus made was, I am the good shepherd. And as we said just a moment ago, you can't be a shepherd without a flock. And you might already be thinking to yourself, well, I'm not going to learn anything new today, am I? And you might be right. But I would quote to you the words of Paul in Philippians 3 verse 1. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Now, I'm not sure that you all have the same experience as I do with the police, but the police can educate you, can educate us about road rules. But more often their role is to enforce the road rules by gently reminding us about things we already know and should be doing, like keeping to the speed limit. Just as an example, of course. Many of us will pay money to hear our favourite music performed at the Opera House or at the Entertainment Centre, depending on your style of music. We might read books that we have read before or watch movies that we have seen before. We might go to places that we've been before simply because we enjoy the repeat experience. There is a sense in which being reminded that we are God's flock is an enjoyable and comforting experience. But today I also want us to see the red and blue flashing lights of the police car that has pulled us over to gently remind us of how we should be living as the sheep of God's pasture. So let's begin with prayer. Almighty God and Father, please again we ask that you would open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible has many references to us being God's sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3, know that the Lord is God, it is he that made us, and we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 95 verse 7 that I quoted before in the NIV, in our NRSV, says we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And in Isaiah 40 verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Now, of course, we know King David encapsulated all these concepts in his famous psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, which we just sang. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or with the Lord as my shepherd, I have everything I need. There is a deliberateness about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep, though, do not choose to have the shepherd. Generally speaking, the shepherd chooses to look after his sheep. And this is not out of pity, the way we might adopt a stray cat or take home a rescue dog. This is a career move by the shepherd. It becomes a lifetime occupation. It becomes the primary goal or the single focus of the shepherd. The good shepherd will stop at nothing to achieve this goal. The good shepherd will even lay down his life for his sheep. And the sheep have done nothing to deserve such affection. We only love our good shepherd because he first loved us. And so Jesus says to his disciples in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And so my first point about being the flock of God's hand is that we are a favoured flock. We are the chosen ones, the one God has set his love and grace and mercy upon. My first point is that becoming the flock is not our choice, it's God's choice. We are a favoured flock. That's the point past. Unfortunately, and this is my second point, moving fast, isn't it? You must be pleased. Don't get excited, it won't last. This is my second point. The flock has chosen to go astray. We are a fallible flock. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And it's very important that we don't gloss over the word all in that statement. For the Bible is very keen to point out that all human beings are lost sheep. Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, that's quoting other places, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. And there is no one who shows kindness? There is not even one. Now, Paul is quoting from two psalms that repeat those words verbatim, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, but I can feel some people's feathers get a bit ruffled by those words, there is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. And we think, surely there are people who are kind in this world. Yeah, yeah, I'm one of them, we think to ourselves. Surely there are people who are kind. But then we hear the wisdom of King Solomon reply in Ecclesiastes 7:20, yes, but surely there is no one on earth so righteous as to do good without ever sinning. And there's the rub. There are only two types of people in this world. There are those who have done the wrong thing and been found out, and there are those who think they got away with it. King David thought he got away with it. He thought he got away with his sins of adultery and murder, carried on with life as normal, but his guilt ate away at him. In Psalm 32 verse 3 it says, while I kept silence, meaning when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. And we read these verses every week in our service, and I'll read it to you again from 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So with a little help from God's prophet Nathan, David eventually saw the light, and when he had stopped deceiving himself, saying that he had no sin, he sought out God's help. At the end of Psalm 119, the last verse, verse 176, nice psalm to read while you're going out on a horse with a whip trying to get the rest of the villagers back into the church. Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant. To be part of God's flock, we must first recognize that we are lost sheep. It's like anything, you have to acknowledge the problem before you can solve the problem. Luke 19 verse 10 then gives us the other bookend to this. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Which brings me nicely to my third point. While the flock has chosen to go astray, the shepherd has chosen to save us. We are a forgiven flock. Which makes me ask, why? Surely flocks are a dime a dozen to God, who literally owns the cattle on a thousand hills. So why would the shepherd try to rescue his wayward flock? Why not just let them wander where they want and just get a new flock? Is it because of the time and effort and resources that he's already put into them? No. This decision is not based on financial balance or gain. Since the good shepherd is prepared to suffer personal loss to save his flock, he will literally lay down his life for them. He will take the punishment that we deserve for choosing to ignore God. Now, after telling us that we all like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53:6 then goes on to say, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. What would drive the shepherd to go to such lengths for his flock? Obviously, love. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, our good shepherd, to lay down his life for his sheep, so that whoever of those lost sheep would hear his voice and repent or come back to him and follow Jesus as their good shepherd, those would be rescued and saved and find forgiveness and receive eternal life. The picture of the shepherd giving his life to save his deliberately rebellious sheep is a great illustration of God's grace. But Paul steps it up a notch when he moves the illustration from the sheep field to the battlefield in Romans 5:8. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul then reminds us that this happened while we were God's enemies on the battlefield. Let us never take God's grace for granted. When John identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we can immediately jump to the comparison with the Passover lamb that was originally sacrificed to save the Hebrew slaves from the judgment of God directed at the Egyptians and against all who would choose to reject him. But I want you to consider the other implication, which is that in order to save his flock, the shepherd became a lamb. He became like one of them. Jesus became like one of us and took on all our sin, that we might become like him and take on all his righteousness. Now, despite my more college training, I'm afraid I must add a fourth point. We are still God's sheep, and Jesus is still our good shepherd. Our ongoing goal is to remain God's faithful flock. In John 10:27, Jesus doesn't say, "My sheep heard my voice and followed me," past tense. "My sheep hear my voice and follow me," present tense. This leads to some obvious questions. How are we listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd today? How are we following the voice of our Good Shepherd today? Next time you're out and about on the bus or on the train or even walking down the street, take note of how many people are listening to something or someone. The technology that we heard about earlier, people are so fascinated by. They're all wearing something in their ears. It's easier to count the people who aren't wearing headphones or earbuds than those who are. We fill our lives with noise that often drowns out the voice of our shepherd. We need to take control and make a choice to listen to our shepherd's voice. My shortest poem. We need to take control and make a choice to listen to our shepherd's voice. Where can we hear the voice of God? In his word, the Bible. That's where God speaks to us. It says in Hebrews 1 from verse 1, "Long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." And we read about Jesus in the Bible. God's Son is not only our Saviour, he is also our Shepherd. And at both the baptism and the transfiguration of Jesus, the voice of God was heard to say, "This is my Son, listen to him." Read his word, hear his voice. Morning or night or at any time in between, go to church, listen to sermons, go to Bible studies, watch videos and podcasts, go to more college, go to conferences, go to wherever. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And when we seek and submit to our shepherd, it is then that his promise comes true, that he will direct our paths and lead us to the green pastures and the still waters and travel with us through the dark valleys. So don't just hear the words, but ask God to motivate you into action by his Spirit. For Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." To believe in Jesus means that when he speaks, we must trust and obey. Yes, we are going to sing that later. Earlier I said becoming the flock is not our choice, but behaving as the flock is our choice. Becoming the flock is not our choice. Behaving as the flock is our choice. With a slight nod to the fact that today is Father's Day, let me say that in the same way that we call God our Father, not my Father, we call Jesus our Shepherd, not my Shepherd. For being the flock is our corporate identity. The flock is the group of fellow believers to which we belong. The flock is where we find fellowship and mutual encouragement. The flock is where we exercise our gifts for the benefit of each other. And the flock should look out for each other and care for one another. The New Testament has multiple references to how we do this. We are to love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, submit to one another, honour one another, live in harmony with one another, and build one another up in our faith, as together we follow the voice of Jesus. There are many benefits that come from being God's flock, but we also face many dangers, as Celia alluded to in her prayers. We remain a very vulnerable group. We are at risk of attack, both from outside the group and from inside the group. To keep the analogy going, the Bible warns us of false teachers who will come to us as wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to be on our guard that the voice we listen to is actually the voice of our good shepherd and not the voice of an imposter. That's why we think it is important for you to pray for your church leaders, as we did this morning, and for your synod reps, as we did this morning, that we might be able to discern the voice of Jesus amongst the cries of those who might seek to lead us astray. Today, the flock of God is under attack, as it has often been in centuries past. Some sheep are wandering away from the voice of the shepherd to what they believe might be greener pastures. But our good shepherd has promised to be with us in these dark valleys just as much as he is with us beside the still waters. He will never leave us or abandon us if we remain faithful to him and continue to trust him and obey him as we follow his voice. So, how did you go today? Did you learn anything new? Maybe not. Were you reminded of things you knew were true but have not been putting into practice lately? How will you choose to respond? What will you choose to do? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you look at each other differently as fellow sheep in God's flock? Will you look at Jesus differently as you make time to listen to his voice? Will you hear the voice of your good shepherd and ignore it as you wander off and do your own thing? Or will you hear his voice and follow him wherever he takes you? Will you doubt and delay, or will you trust and obey? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the people of your pasture, we are the flock under your care. In your love, you have given us your Son as our Saviour, and in your care, you have given him to us as our Good Shepherd, who not only laid down his life for us to save us, but now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as our risen Lord, whose voice we long to hear and obey. In our frailty as your sheep, help us to work together as one flock to encourage each other to remain faithful to you as we continue to trust and obey our Master and Friend, our Saviour and Shepherd, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. And yes, now it's time for us to sing Trust and Obey. Please take a seat. It's now time for notices. I wonder if this will bring back any memories. It did for me, and that reminds us that we're going to have some ice cream Sunday services out there, but I wanted to mention the memory that brought back to me is Mr. Whippy used to come down our street, and it was sixpence an ice cream cone, and he used to sell a pound's worth of ice creams that in those days. Can anyone tell me how many ice creams he sold? Sixpence, an ice cream, two to a shilling, 20 shillings to a pound, so it's 40. I just thought some of the older folks amongst us might have felt better about all that talk about the internet and the iPhones and things. So yes, yeah, so we've got ice cream. There's gluten-free ice cream. There's lactose-free ice cream. And there's beautiful vanilla, my favourite, and another flavour that's full of gluten and lactose. And some sprinkles on the top. So that'll be available. And we've got the van out there all ready to go. So it's just like Mr. Whippy. In fact, Seeley will play Mr. Whippy music for us, or Greensleeves.
Fantastic. So, yep. The only other thing I wanted to say, notices, was we talked about Synod and the struggles that we face as a church. Pray for us as people, as Synod reps who are going to Synod, that we get it right, that we can hear what where God is leading us and follow. Yep.
Okay. Then to conclude, join with me in this final prayer. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
And happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Shepherd is, whose goodness faileth me.